Hello again. I'm Scott Simme, senior editor and chief writer of DroneDJ.com. I'm also the host of this podcast called The Buzz. We call it The Buzz for a couple of reasons. We think of the buzz made by multi-rotor drones in flight, but we also think of buzz as referring to something topical, something that gets people talking. And this year, 2020, a lot of people are talking about Skydio. Why? Well, there are many reasons, and we're going to dive into them right now. On today's edition of The Buzz, I am joined by Adam Bry, who is the CEO and co-founder of Skydio. Adam, welcome to this edition of The Buzz.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be here.
Listen, Skydio has had an amazing year. We've seen a huge funding round, the release of new products, the announcement of a major partnership, and even more. I'm hoping we can touch on all of these, but what do you personally regard as the high point for the company in 2020 so far?
So I think for us, the most exciting thing is really starting to see our vision of autonomy come to life with our customers. We started the company in 2014 because we felt like drones had enormous potential. There were all these amazing use cases for consumers and businesses and first responders. And we felt like being able to trust the drone to fly itself was just a foundational capability to really make those things as useful and as scalable as they could be. And it's a very challenging technology problem, something that we've been focused on even, you know, going back before we started the company. And it's been a steady build to get to the point that we're at now. But with Skydio 2 and now with our recently announced X2, we're just seeing this come to life with our customers, and it's been amazing. I mean, we have consumers that are posting incredible videos that you wouldn't be able to film any other way. And in the enterprise world, we're seeing these use cases that people have talked about now actually work and scale. So our partnership with EagleView, they're a leader in the insurance claims processing space to do autonomous residential roof inspection. You know, this is something that people have talked about for years, but nobody's really been able to make work in a scalable way. And that's just one example. With regulators, with North Carolina, we're seeing the regulatory environment start to reflect the power of autonomy with the first beyond visual line of sight waiver under Part 107 for bridge inspection. It's hard to point to one thing, but I think for me the most satisfying thing is seeing the stuff that we've been working on for a long time really come to life and be useful for our customers.
I'm going to ask you to think back to those early days when you and your co-founders were sitting around discussing your long-term visions for the company. Was AI and having that as a sort of edge against the competition, was that sort of part of your plan right from the very beginning?
It was. So my co-founders and I met as grad students at MIT in the 2008, 2009 timeframe. And our lab was on the forefront of building, we didn't even call them drones at the time. We called them UAVs or micro air vehicles. So our lab was one of the first in the world to take quadcopters and start to put computers and sensors on them and try to get them to do smart stuff. And we weren't honestly thinking about applications at the time. It just seemed like the technology had a lot of potential. And the motivation for starting the company was believing that AI and autonomy was really going to be key to making these things useful for customers. So that's really what we focused on. I mean, I think we tend to think and focus less in terms of competition and more in what's going to be the most useful for the end user and the customer. And that's what's motivated most of our development.
I think when a lot of people think of AI, in their minds, they imagine machines that can think to a certain extent and make decisions on their own. How do you define AI?
That's a great question. And I think it's one of these things where defining AI in the abstract is almost impossible. And I think it's the case that as technologies mature and we get used to them, we just sort of take them for granted. So, there's simple examples here, like a calculator that does arithmetic has superhuman intelligence at doing arithmetic. A calculator can do math better and faster than any human can. And there's lots of sort of specific examples of that. I think that we're obviously at a pretty exciting point in the evolution of technology, where a bunch of different things are coming together, with computers getting fast enough and these deep learning algorithms getting good enough to do things that are really remarkable, that people even just a few years ago didn't imagine possible. So for us, it's pretty simple. The goal with our software is to be able to do all the things that an expert pilot could do if they were there performing the task. So in the consumer cinematography world, that means being able to fly in an incredible, smooth cinematic way, track objects of interest, avoid obstacles, and capture really compelling video, which is an incredibly challenging problem. So we always, we like the comparisons between what a Skydio 2 is doing and what a world-class FPV pilot is doing. And frankly, I think the world-class FPV pilot still has the edge on us in a few scenarios, but Skydio 2, I think, is in its cinematic capabilities, is at or beyond like expert-level capability in a lot of areas. And then it changes for use cases. So, for example, for house inspection, if you had a world-class drone pilot there, they would be able to fly in at super close proximity to the house, very carefully map and scan the whole thing, and that's what our software does. So the way that we think about it is we basically want to take the skills of an expert pilot, put that into the software, and make it available to anyone at any time that's using one of our products.
And for people who have not watched some of the videos that outline the capabilities of your software and of your product, my understanding is that if I would like to use house scan and scan my home or a building, that simply I have to draw a polygon and identify where the building is, and then Skydio 2 takes off and does everything else on its own. Is that a fairly accurate assessment of how things work?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it's a few taps on a phone or an iPad. You give it the general vicinity that you want it to look in. It then flies in. It builds a real-time 3D map. It uses AI to recognize individual roof facets. It then plans a path to scan each of those roof facets, goes in, captures the data, and you're done with just a few taps on the phone. So it's a pretty remarkable experience.
And similarly, in terms of bridge inspection, which is a very tricky thing to do properly, a Skydio 2 can also, once you've identified where that bridge is, it can go and scan the entire structure, bottom and top. Is that also correct?
So bridge scan or bridge inspection generally is one of these use cases where we're still in a mode where it's kind of the interplay between the AI system on the drone and the inspector that's there, looking at the bridge. I think the key thing there is that we enable the person doing the bridge inspection to be a bridge inspector, not an expert drone pilot. So they're thinking in terms of, what they need to see, what they want to look at in order to look for the damage that might be interesting and critical for them to know about. And they don't have to be worried about whether or not they've got GPS. They don't have to be worried about running into anything. The drone's navigation and AI system takes care of all of that. And we're building more and more automation there. So earlier this year, we announced a product called 3D Scan, which is kind of the general purpose 3D capture, where you just give it a volume and it figures out everything else. And that's coming soon. And you'll see more and more automation for us over time and more use cases. But I still think that there's a lot of value in these kind of these hybrid worlds where you can have the AI skills augment what a person is capable of doing.
You sort of touched on it there, but the fact is that other drones really do require a pilot that knows how to fly very well. And in a case like this, now the regulatory scheme is a different, sort of kettle of fish, but in theory, you could have an engineer who may not know really anything about being a drone pilot, but they could operate a Skydio 2 and capture the data that's required.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, one of the things that's interesting when you look at enterprise drone world, and really, I'd say the drone world in general, in my view, it's still very early days. I think that the most kind of industrious people who are most forward leading on technology are standing up drone programs, and they're starting to see really positive results, but they're putting up with a lot of pain and friction to do that with manually flown drones. And if you get into it, the single biggest cost for any of these programs is training human pilots, paying them on a per job basis to go out and do this stuff. You're hugely limited in kind of the scale of scope of what you can do if you need an expert pilot there every time. So, we're not trying to replace pilots. Like our basic vision is that you can just have way more drones doing way more useful stuff if you don't have that need there. And I think these inspection use cases speak to that because it enables the people who are experts in whatever the, you know, the specific civil engineering, or maybe it's a public safety use case, whatever the task is, they're experts in their domain, and the drone becomes a tool for them that adapts to their world rather than them having to adapt to the drone.
You mentioned right at the outset the North Carolina situation, and just as a backgrounder, the FAA recently gave or granted a Part 107 statewide waiver for beyond visual line of sight flights to the North Carolina Department of Transport, which is using SkyDO2 drones to inspect bridges. How big a deal is this for SkyDO to have the FAA kind of say, yep, carte blanche, go ahead and inspect statewide beyond visual line of sight?
So I think it's a huge deal. I also think it's just a small first step, because there's a lot more to come. So, you know, the FAA is confronted with a very challenging problem, because they have a lot of existing interests. They have to be extremely risk averse, extremely safety conscious. And the technologies that are in play now with drones are just very, very different from the kinds of things that they're used to working with and regulating. So I have a lot of sympathy for the problem that they're dealing with. And I think they're, in general, you know, they might be moving slower than some people would like, but they're taking fairly reasonable risk-based approaches. And I think this is a classic example of that, because basically what we're showing is that if you're flying at low altitude and close proximities to structures, you heavily mitigate the air risk. Like your chances of being in the proximity of anything, you know, a manned aircraft that's flying, are extremely low. And if you combine that with the collision avoidance and autonomous navigation system, you end up with something that's fundamentally very, very safe and reliable. And the other thing that's important to think about here is that you're preventing quite a bit of risk. You know, conventional bridge inspection relies on hopping into a snooper truck, one of these giant pieces of machinery that drives along the top of the bridge and swings a person underneath. And that is a very heavy, expensive, dangerous process. So using drones to do this is better in a bunch of different ways. So, you know, I think it's a milestone for us. I think it's also a milestone for the industry in showing how these, you know, advancing technology can open up a lot of these use cases in a safe way that regulators will get on board with. And this is something that, you know, we hope and plan to do a lot more of.
So we've got collision avoidance, sort of this autonomous flight, and there's also this automation, this end-to-end automation of the process. And when I look at these bridge inspections in North Carolina, when I look at the EagleView partnership, it makes me think that there must be a whole lot of other industries out there, once they discover this capability, that they're going to be knocking on your door as well, saying, hey, you know, we think that your drone might be able to do X for us. Is that already starting to happen?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's been going on for a couple of years now since we launched our first product, R1. I think people see the technology and can imagine where it's going and what it's capable of. And it's, you know, it's very motivating and exciting for us. And I think it's one of the fun things about the drone industry in general. So, you know, one is a little bit of a tangent, but we obviously are adjacent to, and we pay a lot of attention to, other autonomous vehicle spaces, and self-driving cars are, you know, a pretty exciting thing that gets a lot of attention. But at the end of the day, with a self-driving car, all you're trying to do is just kind of follow the rules. Like, the best self-driving car is something that just, you know, does exactly what the rules of the road say. Whereas drones have this very open-ended and exciting nature, I think, where there's just so many use cases out there. There's so many ways for these things to be useful for different groups of people in different ways. And I think that's, you know, when I say it's early days of the industry, that's what I'm talking about. I think that there's a lot to come as the technology reaches maturity, and then as we really figure out how to deploy it across a lot of different industries. And we envision a world where drones are, you know, are essentially trusted infrastructure for us. Like, they're mapping and inspecting all of our critical systems that we rely on, making sure that they're up and in working order. They're responding to emergencies and providing information in critical danger situations. And we're just a fraction of a percent of the way there. And I, you know, I think it's not the only piece, but autonomy is one of the big things that unlocks that future.
Does SkyDO look at all to, given that you have this knowledge base already, do you look at all to creating other, you know, ground-based vehicles or drones that might carry out different tasks but employ some of the same technology?
That's another really good question. We get asked about that a lot. but we're pretty focused on drones and stuff that flies. You know, I think that every problem in autonomy and robotics has its own kind of flavor, its own nuance. And, you know, I think that a lot of the technology we've developed could be useful on a lot of other kinds of systems. But we can't do everything, and we're most focused on building the best autonomous flying systems and making them as useful as they can be for our customers.
I'm curious, you've had such an amazing year, but this is also 2020 and we've had a global pandemic. How has that impacted Skydio?
It's impacted us on a number of different fronts. And I think the most painful has been manufacturing. So, you know, we launched Skydio 2 at the end of last year. The response was frankly well beyond what we had planned for in a good way. And we've been trying to catch up to demand for that product ever since and working really hard at it. And we were on track to do it right as COVID hit. And because we're building our product ourselves in the US, we were impacted. We had to pause manufacturing for a while, and then we restarted it, but we couldn't hit the same throughput immediately because we have to take a bunch of safety precautions to make sure that our line is safe for the operators that are working on it. So that's been a painful one for us because we have customers out there that are super excited about the product and doing amazing things with it, and we have a lot of folks that place reservations and you know, we are scaling up manufacturing. We're churning through these things at a pretty high rate to get them out there into folks' hands. But that's one that I think has been difficult for us because that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we want to be doing. We want to be shipping these things to people that are using them. Beyond that, you know, I would say in general, we haven't seen much, if any, of a drop off in need or demand from customers. You know, consumers seem just as excited about the product and the capabilities, and a lot of businesses do as well. I think the drones kind of fit into this kind of more socially distant, require smaller footprint on the ground to get things done that a lot of companies are thinking about. But it has impacted our ability to get out there in the field and spend time with customers, which is something that, you know, we love doing and we learn a lot from. And then as a company, one of the things that I think has enabled us to build our products is this really, you know, relatively small, cohesive team that everybody's under one roof and hardware and software working closely together. And we've had to figure out how to do that in a more remote work world. And that's one area where I'm super proud of the team. Like we've had people building things in their garages and then handing off sub-assemblies and software team logging into the vehicle over the internet to bring up new bits of hardware. So it's been fun to see folks figure out how to collaborate in this kind of new world. And then we've also, you know, we've done things like we have our emergency response program where we've been donating Skydio 2s to public safety agencies that have increased need because of COVID. So we're trying to help out where we can with the stuff that we're the best at to hopefully all move forward as a civilization.
When you mentioned self-driving cars, my mind immediately went to a friend of mine who owns a Tesla, and he loves to tell me that his car keeps getting smarter and smarter over time with firmware upgrades. And of course, they've got so many cars on the road now that there's really a lot that they've learned. Is that potentially sort of a model for Skydio? Is that something we can anticipate, that there would be firmware upgrades down the road that make existing products and future products smarter as you own them?
Absolutely. There already have been. So we've shipped a few software updates for Skydio 2 that improve kind of the core intelligence layer and add new features and functionality. And that's something that folks can expect more of over time. You know, part of this transition to the device being more autonomous means it's more driven by software. And there's more that you can open up and unlock with different kinds of software. And that's definitely, you know, that's a big part of what we're doing.
You announced the X2 in the summer. It's listed on the website as being shipping at some point in Q4. Is that still on track that it will be shipped later on this year?
It'll be right at the end, but yes, we're still tracking for very first units to come off the line at the end of Q4.
I was working on a story just yesterday, actually, about the blue SUAS list. of approved UAS for government departments and agencies, and the Skydio X2 is on that list. How big of a boost was that for your company?
I think that the federal government is a great customer for drones. They have a bunch of different use cases that map really well to things that we're good at. And it's something that in general, I think we're proud and excited to be doing as a company. So I think that there's a bunch of different agencies and components within the federal government. One thing that I think has generally been encouraging to us and is part of the reason why we decided to engage is I think that the DoD has some really forward-leaning, I think, intelligent efforts to get away from kind of more traditional defense contractors and engage with companies that are leading in consumer and commercial technology. And this is a very broad trend. This goes way beyond drones. But if you just look at the pace of development with smartphones and the cloud and web services, it's really, really fast in the consumer commercial world. And I think a lot of the technology there is outpacing a lot of the more traditional defense systems. So I think it's a really smart move. And drones in particular, I think, in the sort of small, light class, the stuff that's happening, with companies in our space is just way beyond the more traditional defense systems. And I think a lot of people in the DoD get that, and they're leaning into it. And that was kind of a big impetus for starting the Blue UAS program. It's something that I think makes a lot of sense, forgetting about Skydio just as a country. I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's something that we're certainly excited to be part of.
I understand the X2, that the Department of Defense may well be clients for that product, but that Skydio has also pledged, I believe I've read, that it will not weaponize that drone. Why was that decision made, and why was that important to you?
I think it's ultimately it's a company identity thing. I think, what are we about? And, I think we all benefit. I believe very strongly we all benefit in this country from having a strong U.S. military, with the best technology. I think that, there's really legitimate, important political debates about, when and how that military is used. But I think that we all benefit from these institutions that exist to protect national security and protect each of us. I think the mission is something that we believe in quite a bit. But we also, our strategy and our identity is really dual use technology. Like we're not a traditional defense contractor. We're not going to become one. Our roadmap is anchored in dual use stuff that has utility across, across enterprise, consumer, public safety, and defense markets. And weapon systems don't fall within that. It's, I would say, think about other tech companies, like probably analogous to Microsoft or Amazon, companies that have big government businesses, but aren't in the business of building actual weapon systems. They're selling technology that they've developed that's really useful for DoD.
The Skydio 2, it dawned on me yesterday, I think, is pretty interesting because it's both a drone that consumers want, but it's also an enterprise drone being put to use in all these industrial applications. Do you see this kind of crossover continuing in the future, or do you think there may eventually be a split in lines, sort of an enterprise line and a consumer line?
So with X2, there's a split there already with a drone that's slightly bigger, longer flight time, a little bit more robust, improved wireless range, carries a thermal camera, these kinds of things. So there's definitely some split of capabilities, but I generally think that if you can take cell phone level imaging and put that on a system that flies and then make it autonomous, that product puts down a really wide footprint across a lot of different use cases. And the value then starts to come more from like software specialized for different use cases. So I think that you'll see us, we're not going to be a company that builds a million different SKUs of drones at like all different sizes and shapes. Like we're going to focus on building a few products really well and then making them as useful as they can be through software that is a little bit more specialized and tailored for different applications. So, you know, one analogy here would be the way you think about like a phone or a tablet or a laptop, where there's, you know, there's sort of small, medium, large, and you get different specs on each one. But then you can really open up the capabilities through software.
We're going to wrap up fairly shortly. I know you're a super busy guy, but a couple of quick things I just wanted to touch on before we go. One is the development of the Skydio dock, which can be sort of recharging station / safe harbor. And the other is Ware, the company that I believe is kind of a subsidiary or is associated with Skydio, where a Skydio 2 drone would go off on a regular basis and count inventory in a warehouse. Now, are these are both within the Skydio umbrella? Is that correct?
So Ware is an independent company. They're a customer of ours.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, they're gotcha. A customer and close partner. So they're using Skydio 2s now to do inventory warehouse monitoring. So they fly Skydio 2s around inside of warehouses. They go up and down each row, and they track the position and presence or absence of inventory. So it's another one of these really interesting use cases that I think provides tremendous value compared to conventional ways of doing that, where you either put a person on a forklift or you just guess. So there's, you know, I think that's a really interesting one. And it gets to this idea with the dock of persistent autonomy, where these become infrastructure that we depend on, where you can deploy them whenever you need to without a person needing to be there. And I think that's a major, you know, that's another one of these kind of like big technology transitions that's coming from the industry and fits perfectly with autonomy and how we think about our products.
Great. And the last question is, you were also in the news this year for raising $100 million. That's a lot of money. What are you going to do with all that?
So, you know, of all the things that we're doing, I think this one is kind of this is the thing that follows, right? Like, we define our success in terms of great products and customers using them and getting value from them. So, you know, it's a meaningful thing for us, and that it enables us to double down on the stuff that we need to do to be successful. So, you know, we use that money to build out, keep building out the products and technology that we think should exist, and to build the go-to-market team and processes to make sure that we're doing everything we can to serve customers and make them successful. So those are the big, you know, those are the big things that we're pushing on. But, you know, it's really the thing to focus on and the thing to get excited about is, I believe, is the products and the customers. And if you get that stuff right, everything else kind of flows.
I know you've got to wrap things up as well, but is there anything that I did not ask you that I really should have, that you were sitting there thinking, man, I wish you would ask me about that because it's so cool?
Something we didn't talk about is this, you know, this China US dynamic, which is a major, you know, I think is a hot topic in the industry right now. So I know this is something that you've thought about and written about, and I'm happy to offer a little bit of a perspective there. I think that we, you know, forgetting about Skydio again, just as a citizen of the US, I think that there's a lot of reasons to believe that having a strong domestic supply base for drones is really important. You know, these products that started off looking like kind of consumer toys have just turned out to be incredibly useful for a bunch of different industries, including DoD and national security use cases. And I think being dependent on China for these products is generally just not healthy. Or being solely dependent is not healthy. And then the second thing that I would say here is you know, people talk about cybersecurity and the integrity of the device quite a bit. And you know, I think there's an attempt to sort of deflect the conversation towards like making sure that you can't hack into it, or making sure that you can't, you know, the things are properly encrypted. Which is not really the point, because the real concern here is, can you, you know, the question is not like, can you build a drone that passes a cybersecurity test? The question is like, do you trust the drone to never have a back door to do something that it shouldn't do? And that's something that you can't validate with a cybersecurity test. That comes down to like, do you trust the source? And And it's not a question of particular companies. It's a question of the policies of the Chinese government, which grant them extremely broad access, IT access, to companies in China, which, you know, I think are and should make people a little bit uneasy and question what that actually means. So, you know, I guess I'm putting this out there because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to steer clear of the issue. It's definitely something that we're, you know, we're in as now the leading U.S. drone company. And it's something that people are talking and thinking about. And I think it's, you know, I think there's an attempt to sort of paint it as like a political issue. It's not a real thing, which I think is a little bit of a mirage. It's political in the sense that like national security is a political issue. And having, you know, having networks and IoT devices that people trust is a political issue. Like it is something that politicians care about, but it's very bipartisan. You know, I think there's reasonable concerns there.
I appreciate that you brought that up. And in fact, I actually did have a couple of questions about this written down, and partly time was ticking by and partly I thought, oh man, it's the first time I'm ever speaking with Adam, and I'm a fan of, you know, your product. I didn't want to just jump right in there and say, wow, we got this, you know, wild can of worms that kind of is exploding a little more this week. I think, you know, one of the issues that I've found as a journalist looking at this, and I hear and appreciate absolutely what you said. One of the things that I have not yet been able to find, and perhaps I will, I've sent some emails out, is I can't really find any sort of data security guidelines as to what would make a drone qualify to make it on that list. Perhaps there is, and perhaps that's something that people at your level get to see, but I haven't seen anything out there publicly. It seems to be more about the made in the US at this stage, or at least in terms of what I've seen.
So I think that there's various guidelines and frameworks, and we've been through cybersecurity reviews with various federal government customers. So there's certainly stuff out there, and I think that stuff is really important. But the source I think also matters a lot, and I think that there's kind of an attempt to change the conversation towards like passing XYZ cybersecurity review. But the question is really about like, can you always trust the device to do the right thing with data? And that's not something that you can establish in a single cybersecurity review. That comes down to fundamentally, you know, do you trust the origin of the hardware and the software? Because whoever controls the hardware and the software, especially the software, is going to ultimately have control. And it's, you know, anybody who's written a few lines of code knows that it's pretty easy to, you just put like a, you know, there's like one conditional statement in there. If this happens to be true, do this with the data, and you give yourself the hook to do basically whatever you want with a backdoor. And that's the real, I think that's the real risk and question. And that's what people, I think, are rightly focused on. And that's why the origin matters.
I appreciate very much that you raised this and wanted, in fact, to address it, because I think it's going to shake things up quite a bit in the drone landscape, and has already. And this is going to be kind of an ongoing story. So listen, Adam, fantastic year for Skydio, despite the global pandemic. You guys are doing all sorts of very, very intriguing things. And honestly, I can't wait to see what you guys do next. So Adam Bry, Skydio co-founder and CEO, thanks so much for joining us today on The Buzz.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
You know you've had a great guest when they prompt you to ask a question that was high on your list, but somehow went MIA during the interview. Skydio, in my opinion, is set up for an awesome future. It's captured the AI niche, and in future, that niche will be mainstream. Artificial intelligence, if you think about it, is a great way to fly a drone. Let it do the hard work and automate as much of the process as you can. That, in conjunction with good hardware, has Skydio well positioned. And it's a position well earned. I'm Scott Simi. If you like drones, and if you like news, and hey, if you like news about drones, please subscribe to The Buzz. I'll talk to you soon.